It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Carley, Gary McNamara, and wait, it's time for Ask the Law. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. Ask the Law for Monday, July 12th, 2010. Get in, 800-288-9227. Trooper Dial, answering your questions about CSA 2010, hours of service, any other regulatory items. Please get your questions to us now at 800-288-9227. The information and answers are up to date at this time, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Drivers, go to their website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. Get your CMV questions answered anytime by clicking that big red button that says email Ask the Law. Guys, welcome. Trooper Dial, how are you?
Tired.
You look a little tired. How are you? What have you been up to that's got you so tired? What are you doing?
Let's see. I working? Hit the ground running in the morning. And
oh, boy.
Don't get home till late at night.
I know the feeling.
Doing a lot of ranching duties.
Yes. Well, that's always good work. Lots of rain means more work on the ranch usually,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's enjoyable.
Yeah. That's good.
We needed it.
Yes, we absolutely did. It's going to get back to our dry conditions here in North Texas pretty soon. So, in fact, I think after Tuesday, we're back into this old summer pattern. But, Gary, fresh back from Walcott, I am, and it was a great trip. A couple of things happened. We'll talk about that later in the show. But otherwise, an enjoyable trip. Of course, I was there for the Walcott Truckers Jamboree and covering the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, quickly, any delays?
Delays in flights?
Yes.
Not one.
Okay.
No, not one. Our flights were smooth. We arrived like 15 minutes early, and I got home right on time on Saturday morning, and it was really great. Took a nap. got a hotel room. My first hotel room, which was a nightmare. It was out of the show Dexter. If anybody's seen Dexter on Showtime, you know what I'm talking about. It looked like Dexter had been working in that room. We'll talk about that later in the program. Yes, and then, of course, later that night, a PGA golfer was arrested for drug possession. So, other than that, it was a good trip. It was a bizarre trip starting out, but it was a great Walcott Truckers Jamboree. We talked a lot about CSA 2010 with drivers. I think that was the number one issue with drivers right now, CSA 2010. What are you hearing back from other feedback and from other professionals that you deal with, Trooper Dial, on CSA 2010? You getting any feedback? I'm hearing from drivers that the carriers are doing a better job at getting the information out, that it's there.
Yes.
What are you hearing?
Most of the drivers are sending in questions to Ask the Law, that seems to be the number one topic that they're sending questions on. And my response to them would be, get on FMCSA's website and read.
Yeah.
It's something that if you don't know anything about it, it is very misleading. It's confusing. Don't listen to your neighbor.
Yeah, the chatter seems to be very heavy. We noticed this just the other day on Northland Night, that chatter kind of spilled over into the show. There was a lot of concern about, the DOT officials are out to get us, or, this is the way it is. This is the way they're all going to put the nail in the coffin of trucking.
The quote was, and I paraphrase, since I won't call it a quote, it's a paraphrase, is that they're out to get a rap sheet on us.
Yeah.
Because of CSA 2010.
Well, no. And we need to, again, re-clarify, and I know for those of you who listen to this Ask the Law program every month, this may be repetitive, but it's necessary, and that is that under CSA 2010, you're not in danger of losing your CDL.
No. The CSA 2010 was never set up to take a driver off of the road.
Right.
Your CDL is issued by your home state.
Hmm.
Your home state is the only one that can take your CDL away from you. CSA 2010 does not in any form, fashion, shape, whatever, take your CDL away from you.
Right, right.
At worst, it could make you unemployable.
Yeah, right.
That would be the worst thing that can happen is if you have a high enough score, and we're talking a score up in the 96, 97 range,
mm-hmm.
at that point, then it could be that you would not be employable by another motor carrier.
I had a couple of drivers at Walcott tell me that they have run into drivers that they've been working with at the same carrier for a while, and some things have come up, and they've lost their jobs there. I don't know. Again, this is anecdotal evidence. That's the unfortunate part of what's going to happen, and I think it's probably going to be weighted. It's probably going to that type of activity is probably going to be heavier initially, especially with a couple of things in place. First of all, I think with the initial understanding or I guess the initiation of CSA 2010 rolling out and the carriers wanting to do all they can when there are more drivers out there than we need.
Well, I don't think it's going to be so much that as so much as under the current system, FMCSA and their state partners rely on SafeStat to determine when a motor carrier is going to have a compliance review done.
Okay.
Under CSA 2010, there are going to be some interventions that occur a lot quicker than under the current system. So I think you're going to see a lot of motor carriers stepping up and monitoring the actions of the driver, because ultimately that's where FMCSA or their state partners going to come in and start doing interventions a lot quicker.
Right.
What they're going to do is every roadside inspection, and you know, this is something you and I talked about before, the motor carriers have had this information before.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them never took a look at it.
Right.
But under the current system, a motor carrier can go in and get what they call the MCMIS, which is the Motor Carrier Management Information System.
Mm-hmm.
They can get that and look at it. And it will take and give them a synopsis of what all is going on.
Right.
It gives them every roadside inspection that any and every one of their trucks has gone through. It gives them the date, the time, the location, what violations were found.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those violations resulted in the truck, the trailer, or the driver being placed out of service.
Right.
So if a driver decided, well, I'm not going to turn this inspection into the company, you know, the driver doesn't know that the company can still get that information.
Right.
And so it's something that the carriers now are going to be under the microscope a lot more than they were or currently are under this current system.
Right.
So carriers are stepping up and they're saying, I've got a problem with one, two, three, however many drivers, and they're saying, I don't want this problem.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're giving the driver his pink slip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's something that FMCSA wanted to be able to isolate, identify, whatever you want to call, carriers that were marginal under the current system, but under CSA 2010, they may have a high enough score that it's going to trigger the intervention
right.
long before. And you can go back and look at some of the crashes that, you know, that I always say you want to stop and wait Bubba because Bubba ain't never seen one this bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you a prime example, the one that happened just south of Louisville back in March.
Right.
That motor carrier had problems.
Yes. Yes. In fact, the information that came out after that, and that's the accident where 10 members of one family died and the driver of the big
right.
died
and,
as well.
And so, but under the current system, they were never on FMCSA's radar.
Right.
But under CSA 2010, they would have been on the radar, you know, months and months and months before this crash had ever happened.
Right.
Now, whether or not the crash could have been prevented, we will never know.
Right. Yeah, because there's not a lot of information. While they believe he was the driver was on the phone in the moments leading up to the crash, they don't know if it was at the time of the crash, and they really don't know what happened when he drifted off out of his lane across the median and into that oncoming traffic.
But, you know, this is something FMCSA is wanting to do, and that is identify companies and or drivers
yeah.
that are problems
yeah.
and getting them off of the road.
Right.
Getting the companies that doesn't deserve to be out there.
Right.
Shutting them down.
Right.
Isn't
that what most of the drivers have been asking about? I mean, that's
sure.
asking for years.
Sure.
I mean, we've heard it on this program. We've
sure.
heard it over the years that, well, this carrier's substandard. They shouldn't even be in operation. I know about this carrier. I know about that carrier. And that's what we're talking about is weeding out the really bad apples here.
Sure. And another thing is that FMCSA is wanting to do is keep companies that reinvent themselves.
Right. Yes. Yeah, because they won't be able to do that under CSA 2010.
Correct.
They can't just go out, get a new name, come back with a different brand, and
correct.
Try and create an all-new company.
Right. And I don't know if you remember the crash that happened just south of Sherman 3 years ago.
Right.
You know, that was a company that had reinvented itself twice.
Is that the bus crash?
No, that's the one where they had the Polish driver.
Oh, yes,
oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah,
on
yeah,
75.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah on 75 that
Texas.
Had the
yes.
Polish driver
yes.
come to find out he had some prescriptions
right.
that were issued in Poland
right.
but were not a legal prescription in
right.
the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But that company had reinvented itself twice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some things that FMCSA is trying to do. They're trying to make the roads as safe as they can be. And this is the next step.
Right. All right, we're back with Ask the Law in just a moment. If you want to get in your questions for retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, we would love to take them at 800-288-9227. Hours of service. You mentioned that accident that happened in Kentucky, right? It was right during the Mid-America Trucking Show.
Right.
When that happened, we didn't know it yet, but we've learned since there may have been some questions about hours of service, was how this driver had traveled so far. So they were trying to do the math of where that driver was and how many hours did he have, and there were some questions there. Again, nothing has come out saying that he was out of compliance with hours of service.
Right, and that was one of the things that the NTSB was kind of hampered
right.
in their investigation
right.
because all the documents that they needed were in the truck, and the truck burnt to the ground.
Yeah, yes.
So, you know, they had no logs, they had
know.
No receipts, they had nothing, and those were all items that when NTSB and even some of the troopers that are trained in these large truck crash investigations, that's what they're trying to do is go back and find all this stuff.
With an EOBR, is it possible that even if the electronic onboard recorder is destroyed, that there is a database that would have that information off-site outside of that truck in a similar accident?
If the company has the, and here again, we're getting into some of the things that John Hill and Ann Farrell now are kind of lining up
right.
and bringing forth what all has to be recorded.
Okay, I want to get more into that. We're up against a break here. We'll talk more about EOBRs, hours of service, and much more. If you've got a question for Trooper Dial, get in right now. It is Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227. Radio Network and Ask the Law. Welcome. Good morning. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, July 12, 2010. All the information is up to date, can't change without notice. I want to remind you that all the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We're going to get back to more of this here in just a moment. And Trooper Dial, some news coming out on Friday that the FMCSA has sent direction for a new hours of service rule to the DOT. We'll talk about this after the break and see where we may be going with hours of service. Not a lot of new information, but there is an update. So stand by for that. More Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. Welcome. Good morning. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Ask the Law, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information is up to date as of today, July 12, 2010. Can change without notice the information. And by the way, we just want to let you know that the comments and statements made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Hey, go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. And submit your CMV questions anytime you click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law. Okay, here's the update. It's not much news. I read it and I thought, well, this isn't really a breaking story, but it's kind of the initial process of what goes on during an NPRM, a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, late last month, the end of June, which is just days ago, but it seems like we're already, well, we are close to mid-July. But a couple of weeks ago, they sent to the office of the Secretary of Transportation what, in essence, is the first draft of a new hours of service rule 1 month earlier than required by the settlement of a lawsuit brought on by the current rule. Now, according to the DOT website, the rule is currently in the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking stage. The NPRM stage is something we've talked about, I don't know how many times on this program, but Trooper Dial, essentially this, what has happened here, and this is, the story is available at thetrucker.com. It will be available at our website, midnighttrucking.com, later today. Basically, this is the initial stage of this NPRM. Is this the first stage? Oh, I'm sorry about that. There you are. Okay.
Yeah, this
Hi,
is,
hello.
This,
welcome to the program.
This is the first stage. What happens is anytime a federal agency is charged with modifying, writing new rules, whatever, there has to be a cost analysis done with it. And the Office of Management and Budget is the one that does the cost analysis study. So what FMCSA has done is they've sat down, reviewed all the testimony that were held at the four meetings, plus any written comments that were submitted during this time. They've sat down, and now then they have written the new hours of service rules. They're sending it over to OMB. They will do a cost analysis and determine the impact of how much it's going to cost if they change this, how much it's going to cost if they change that. Once that is finalized, it goes back. FMCSA will look at it. If they are happy with everything, now then they will go to the Federal Register and will publish it in the Federal Register as a NPRM. At that point, it now is open back up for companies, drivers, safety groups, whoever wants to submit a comment. They're allowed during this comment period to submit to a certain point. FMCSA cuts it off. Then they will take usually 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, and they'll review everything. If they're happy, then they will send it back as a final rule.
It says here that the proposal is scheduled to be published. The proposed rule is scheduled to be published November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
But the article points out that this was sent to the DOT about 30 days ahead of schedule.
Right.
I wonder if we'll see a publishing ahead of schedule as well as a result. I don't know that we will, but it's scheduled right now for November 4th, and the public comment period, which will be 90 days, will end January 4th, 2011.
Right.
So it's likely that we will, well, we'll see something come down as a proposed rule. Well, it will be published in November. Likely wouldn't we wouldn't see the end of it. The final rule probably wouldn't be until maybe summer of next year.
Correct.
And so that's what we're looking at here, just the initial stages of how this happens. It intrigues me. It always intrigues me that there is some form of a new hours of service rule in someone's hand right now.
Yes.
Love to be a fly on that wall.
Yes.
Man, would I love to see what that looks like.
Yes.
Based on all the comments that happened during the comment period and the listening sessions, and there were five listening sessions.
I'm sorry, five. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we had it was a great opportunity, but I still feel, just my opinion here, that we missed the boat, that we didn't get enough, and there wasn't enough feedback, participation, and that could have been because of, again, the economy. The economy could have kept people away if drivers weren't driving as much and didn't have the opportunity to make those particular listening sessions, one of them at the Mid-America Trucking Show. Then, of course, that's understandable. But we had other ways of contacting the FMCSA.
Right. They actually had it set up to where a driver, if he couldn't make one of the five sessions, mm-hmm. they had it where the driver could actually, through snail mail,
mm-hmm.
Through emails,
mm-hmm.
Submit his comments addressing the issues that FMCSA wanted comments on.
Right. And I think that's, again, where it just becomes really disappointing, knowing that we've got such a great opportunity as an industry. And while we have surrogates out there, which include everything from the American Trucking Associations to the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, they're, again, it's going to be even limited by them, and its impact is limited when you have one person standing up and representing one organization, while they do represent their members. The ATA represents the carrier members. The OOIDA represents about 160,000 plus owner operators, and that's great. It's wonderful, and it certainly has value. But it also, there is a greater impact when there are greater numbers.
Oh yes, and I think when Ms. Farrell came on board, one of the things that I think she wanted to do was, unlike any of the prior administrators, she actually wanted to hear from the driver himself.
Right. Which was very refreshing.
Right. It was very, very, very refreshing. And granted, the first four, or the first three, the one in Virginia, the one in Dallas, and the one in L.A., were not very conducive to the trucker.
Right.
In getting there, the one in Iowa, it was a little easier for the driver to get there. But here again, the driver had to be going that way.
Right. Right. At that particular moment, where
they realized that there are a lot of drivers that schedule vacations and everything around Mid-America,
right.
And I think it was, and I applaud her and her staff for taking the time to go to Louisville to attend the show there. But again. Like you said, ATA represents their people.
Right.
OIDA represents their people. But you can have differences of opinions, you know, amongst the members of one organization, as well as differences of opinion between the other members.
Sure.
And so I think it was vital that the drivers get up there and actually present their side And I think FMCSA and their staff got what they wanted.
Well, and I applaud her also, Ann Farrow, FMCSA administrator, for going to an event which was basically just the part of the event she was attending was really just kind of a mixer, a talking one-on-one with Truck Riders North America. Truck Riders North America invited me, in fact, while I was at Walcott, to be a part of their organization, which was an honor, and we're looking into that. But for those who don't know, it's basically exactly what it says. It's the truck riders, the people who cover the stories. So that could be considered easily for somebody like Ann Farrow an enemy territory. That could be because it could become really hostile. Well, I wouldn't say hostile. It could be very uncomfortable, maybe awkward, if there were plenty of questions, and that's what these people do. They ask questions for a living. And it turned out to be a really great event, from what I understand. So I applaud that, and I applaud something else she did. We're going to talk about this after the break. She addressed shippers and receivers recently.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that because we get that complaint over and over again. Well, we can only do so much, especially when we're held up by shippers and receivers. And we'll talk about this here in just a few minutes, what Ann Farrow said and what that means and ultimately how that might play out. I really don't believe there's a rulemaking in the future in that area, but it's refreshing, again, to see the FMCSA tell these shippers and receivers, look, we need help from you on this, too, to help keep drivers compliant. So we'll talk about that more coming up in just a few minutes on Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of Monday, July 12, 2010. Can change without notice. Comments or statements made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org and submit your CMV questions anytime. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. Ann Farrow. Again, we've applauded her a couple of times for, first of all, attending the big show at MidAmerica, and that was important on a couple of different levels. She wanted to hear from drivers about hours of service, and also she was there with the Truck Riders North America. And she also said something recently, and Barb Campbell covered this over at The Trucker, thetrucker.com. It's also, the story is available at our website, midnighttrucking.com. FMCSA Administrator Ann Farrow speaking last month during the Washington Freight Transportation Policy Forum presented by the National Industrial Transportation League, suggested that shippers and receivers put themselves in the shoes of truckers who have limited hours to work yet get paid by the mile. All right, this is refreshing. We haven't seen this before. But I don't think that we've got about a minute here. I don't think we're headed to a rulemaking process, but certainly shippers and receivers have to listen when someone like Ann Farrow speaks up.
I kind of look at it as a shot being fired across the bow.
Yeah, this is kind of a friendly warning. Hey, we need your help on this.
Yes.
And I think that's where we're headed with this. We'll talk more after the top of the hour news, which is coming up in just a moment. But more on what she said and what this may mean, and I wonder if the shippers and receivers are really listening. We still hear of drivers being detained way too long at shippers and receivers, and that just simply cannot work. Certainly will not be able to work under a CSA 2010.
Well, and I think, too, this is one of the things that at the five listening sessions, so many of the drivers incorporated into providing information, reference the questions that they were looking, was the fact that so many of the drivers were delayed.
Yeah,
and
unnecessarily. Stand by, and we're going to comment more on that in just a few minutes. Stand by, it's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.